All right, everyone. Unhappy Wednesday to all of you. Coming to you live from my, my broken down fortress of solitude here. This is the Unhappy Gilmore Show, powered by Green Legion Radio and part of the Green Legion Radio family. Thank you for tuning in from wherever you may be, whether it's in the car, chilling at home, or on the company dime, as we try to get you through this third day of this week's hostage situation and look forward to tomorrow. Friday Eve. I don't know if anyone else was having trouble. That I know that music at the start is absolutely atrocious. And I keep not doing any other kind of music because we get kicked off of Facebook with that. And I kind of like the view numbers that I get on there. So I try not to get kicked off of Facebook, at least through here anyways. Lord knows I do a good enough job getting kicked off, well, thrown in Facebook jail. I do a plenty enough good job of that, on my own. I don't need AC/DC music to start my show in order for me to end up in Facebook jail. But anyways, how the hell are all of you? I am exhausted. So, this time of year it gets very, very busy at work. We got a new guy. And when I say new guy, newer forklift driver, he's all right. Good dude. But, he's slow, kind of timid. And right now is really not the time for slow and timid. I need fast and accurate. So it's caused me to be on a forklift myself quite a bit, which I have no problem jumping in and helping. But, ultimately if I have to get on a forklift, that is that's a pretty expensive forklift driver. So we're not going to discuss pay rates here, but that's a pretty expensive forklift driver. Other than that. Yeah. So I'm a little exhausted. And this is probably going to keep up like this for a few weeks, leaving for Arizona next week. And then it'll be still rocking and rolling when I come back. So no trouble there. But back to the music. It felt like there was it was going slow and then, kind of a skipping a portion or two. I don't know if anyone else heard that, but I could hear it on my end. So if my broadcast here sounds very spotty or whatever, it's not just because I'm tired. I don't know if there's some sort of a connection issue I'm having. I'm hoping not. Weather-wise, we're all thinking about the folks down in Florida, right? If you have any friends or family or anyone down there, certainly want to, give well wishes to everyone down there. I know I have one of my closest friends, my brother from another, who's actually the best man at my wedding. He owns a tree service down in the Tampa area. He's doing really, really well down there. Got some pretty big contracts for himself, but I talked to him this morning at about 6:30 and he's basically just waiting for the storm to come rolling on in. I'm sure they'll be fine. He's got a couple backup generators. They're far enough from the shore where like, that's not going to be a problem. It would take like a Noah's Ark type of biblical storm for the water to reach where he is. But, nonetheless, the winds and the threat of tornadoes and stuff can still be pretty scary. Let me hop over to the room here. Lou Mancini, my man. Maria, nice to see you again. And Super Sam is in here. Thank you both for letting me know that you can hear me all right. Just that crap. Maybe it's just the fact that it's crappy music. Yeah, that might be the problem. Lou Mancini, yeah. Stay safe, Ashley and Lewis. Yeah, I think they are good. I don't think the Miami area was feeling the brunt. I'm sure they've got some high winds and whatnot as the storm works its way up. But it's the Tampa area that's really the west coast of Florida and the Tampa area that look like they're going to get it pretty bad. They're already getting it pretty bad. I've seen some clips of some high winds. I have another friend down there. Tom, he's been on here. His name on here is Tongo. And he's living in the Tampa area. So certainly thinking about him as well. Just everybody stay safe. Sorry. If I seem a little off tonight, I'm a little worn out. So we're going to have some fun here. That's for sure. We always have fun here on Wednesdays. And what's not to love right now with the way our birds are playing. And we'll get to that in a few. I did want to touch on, hey, look, for us here, and Super Sam, if you're still listening, I'm sure for you as well, the countdown to Arizona is on, man. We fly out a week from Friday, We get into Phoenix at about, I think it's a couple minutes after 9 a.m. So I'm hoping to be able to check in early at the DoubleTree out there. But yeah, we are pumped. We are excited. Probably this weekend, I'll go out and grab the little mini toiletry things for the trip. Well, usually I check the inventory that we've already got, but then I'll go get the from the bins at Walmart, right? Like a buck a piece for the shampoo and the body wash and all that stuff. I don't like bringing big things of it because it's a pain in the ass. And certainly once I get there, we're not renting a car or anything. So I don't want to have to worry about going over to Walmart or Walgreens or whatever. I just want to get there, get checked in and start having fun. We might need a nap that Friday, next Friday morning, though. That's going to be an early morning. Our flight leaves here at 8 o'clock in the morning, Cincinnati, and gets into Phoenix at 9 a.m., you know, Phoenix time. It's going to be an early morning here, and it's going to be a long day. And I don't want to blow the whole weekend in the first night. So definitely looking forward to having some fun. I know some folks. I know Sam is on that trip. I think Keenan's on that trip. I don't know who else. I mean, obviously, the you know, some of the normal cast of characters from, you know, from your favorite Green Legion folks will be there too. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time. I think the weather is supposed to be like 95 degrees the whole time we're there. I can tell you the weather here we had that heat wave right after Labor Day. And ever since then, it has just steadily. I think the high today was only like 65, which I'm not complaining. I actually kind of I like that weather, right? Where it gets nice and cool at night, and you know, warms up just enough during the day, and it's nice for like the weekends. You have the fire pit. You know, I've got the projector out there. We've talked about that, having movies and whatnot. My daughter wants to watch the live action Pinocchio. We might try to do that this weekend. Trying to make it all about the kids this weekend, you know, the week before we head to Arizona. And then coming back from Arizona, I mean, we're really only like, you know, a month and change away from going to Indy. And Indy for us is only an hour and 40-minute drive. But again, another Green Legion trip, just a two-day thing. Should still be a blast. But then, you know, coming right out of that, it's Thanksgiving, then Christmas, New Year's, and 2023 NFL stadiums for me. That's the, you know, I wanted to get to Detroit to open the year with the Green Legion. That just didn't happen. I couldn't commit to it in enough time. I also thought about Chicago, but that one's too close to Christmas. And you know, obviously with three kids, we'll have a lot of money allocated elsewhere. So we ended up with Arizona being the number one. And then to get that extra Indianapolis trip. So that's going to bring me up to, I think I was trying to do the count last night. That's going to bring me up to what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 home. Well, 10, 11. Those two will bring me up to 11 home teams that I've seen and 10 stadiums. Only 10 stadiums because the friggin' Giants and Jets play in the same house. Who do we got over here? Lou. I wish the Arizona trip was doable for us. Hey, man, look, you know, it is what it is, man. When you can, you can. When you can't, you can't. We'll still be on here having fun, that's for sure. Missy, arriving Friday for Indy, doing Notre Dame Saturday. Oh, wow, really? Missy, fill me in on that. So what is it? So how many of y'all are going to head up to South Bend for that? That's something I might be interested in. We are driving over to Indy on Saturday morning, but our thought was to do the Indy 500 track and tour that. So, I mean, Notre Dame, yeah, it's Notre Dame. I'm not a fan. It's not really, it's not a far away thing for us. So we're not coming in Friday. We're coming in Saturday morning. And then we'll go over to the Indy track. I'm going to do the tour where you get to kiss the bricks and stuff. And then we'll head over to the hotel and hopefully hook up with all of you. So I look forward to pictures of that Notre Dame stuff there. So yeah, we're looking forward to it. Got a fun couple of months coming up and then leading into the holidays. Holidays, always my favorite time of the year. Especially since I've been a parent, you know, it starts to lose some of its magic and luster as the kids get older. And, you know, we're not going to talk about why on here for obvious reasons, but it's still fun though. You know, just I just for me, the holidays, you know, and we're really going down a rabbit hole here tonight. For me, the holidays, I'll always remember when my kids, all three of them were young, little, you know, like when Grady was 9, Liam was 6, and Brooklyn was 3. And just their little faces on Christmas morning when they'd come running out and there's presents all under the tree and everything. And don't get me wrong, it's still a great day now. It's not the same as when they're little. So we're going to keep having fun with that for as long as the kids allow us to. And then we'll look forward to grandkids. Not too soon though, Grady, Liam, if you're listening to this, you make me a grandfather before I'm 50 and we're going to have some problems. And believe me, your mother's on my side. Lou Mancini, don't forget to mention Albert Pujols. Absolutely. And we're going to get to baseball here in just a minute. I've kind of been trying to keep the same theme over the last few weeks as football has come back to the forefront. I want to get the baseball, you know, kind of first and do a few things there and then, you know, switch gears over to football and mostly the birds, you know. But like I keep saying every week, we can't all talk the same thing, right? Especially now that football season's going on. We can't have, you know, unhappy Gilmore talking these things about the birds and the player show talking these things about the birds and Green Legion Radio talking these things about the birds and a pregame show. We got to break it up a little bit, right? And Chris, you know, thankfully for Chris and Murph, and hopefully Murph's back and feeling better. I had a great time last week. Got to sit in with Chris and with Lou. Lewis and on baseball brunch last week. That was an absolute blast. I hope we get to do some of that again. We also talked about those two guys joining this show during the baseball off season once Chris is freed up from baseball brunch. So we'll see how that all works out. So all right, Missy, yeah. So you confirmed. So you are driving. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, if you get tired when you get heading towards Cincinnati, or if you need to stop off and stretch your legs, let us know. So, well, actually, I think if you're driving in Friday, you'll already be there. So, but we're here in a Cincy suburb. If you need anything along the way, you know, if you're coming through and we're both at work, then obviously we can't help you. But without further ado, let's yeah. So I like to break it up, right? We don't want to all talk the same thing. So I'm gonna shift over to baseball here, Lou. Thank you for kicking the tires on that one. Albert Pujols, 700 home runs. You know, Chris, Lou, and I actually were texting with each other earlier this year. You know, the thought was, wow, wouldn't it be cool if he got to that number? But it seemed like a real stretch at that point that for him to get to that 700 number. And then, you know, in August, he just, you know, he hit a few homers. And then in August, he just started to catch fire again, almost like a fountain of youth. Sometimes it makes you wonder if some of these pitchers were kind of laying meatballs out there for him because, you know, he's a pretty well-respected guy. I like to think the integrity of the game means more than that. And they would, you know, everything's been honest and on the up and up. But to see him hit the 700 homers, now, it'd be a little bit, I don't want to say bummed, but earlier this year, my two boys and I, we went to Detroit and we got to see Miguel Cabrera slap his 3,000th hit, right? That's not something that happens all the time, okay? And it's something that we may be waiting a very, very long time for again. So then here's Pujols starts pushing, making this push towards 700 home runs, and I start looking at the schedule, and there was a real opportunity that he could have been sitting on like 699, and been in St. Louis, which from us here is only 4.5 to 5 hours. You better believe we would have been on our way out there. And I get it. The tickets would have cost a fortune. But look, you pay the price for experiences, okay? You know, I was in New York for Derek Jeter's final home game. I was at the game. We went and saw Cabrera's 3,000th hit. I brought my kids to 13. My boys have been to 13 different major league ballparks. I've been to 16. You pay the price for experiences. So it would have been worth it. Even if it was standing room, I wouldn't have cared. So there was a little bit like, oh, man, he had to do it in L.A. But either way, what a cool moment. What a great thing to see. And that, you know, honestly, that's another one. I mean, there's only four guys that have gotten to that number, and one of them cheated, horrifically cheated, Barry Bonds. You know, that's a number you might not see again. That's going to be tough. You know, there's a couple of guys who've racked up a bunch, but you look at a guy like Aaron Judge, who's like, oh, yeah, he's got all this great. Well, Aaron Judge is going to be 31 years old next year. He ain't getting 700 home runs. That's not going to happen. You know, even Bryce Harper, he's 29. He'll be 30 next year. He's not getting there. Yeah, it's going to take someone very, very special to hit these plateaus again. So getting to see, you know, for all of you who are sports fans, whether you're a baseball fan or not, for all of you who are sports fans, and I would assume most of the people who are hearing my voice, be it tonight or, you know, listening later on, you don't have to be a baseball fan to appreciate what that number is and how difficult and how great someone had to have been for a long period of time to attain that plateau. So hats off to Albert Pujols. Congratulations on 700 and an absolutely amazing career. He's going to ride off into the sunset after the season, and I couldn't be happier to see him, you know, make it to that number. Because I mean, think about it. He was sticking to where he was going to retire regardless. Imagine if he was sitting on 699. Oh, God, how does that not eat you up? I think he would have had to come back to break it, to get over 700. But anyways, he didn't need it. And now he gets to just enjoy the last, week and change here of the season. And they're going to head into the postseason, the Cardinals are. You know, who knows? They've been successful making runs in the postseason in not too distant years here. So you never know. Absolutely never know. Once the postseason starts, everybody's back to zero. It's about who's playing the best coming in. What do we got here? Maria, what was your favorite ballpark? Okay, so I grew up, I was born in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and it's, you know, with no traffic, you could get to the Bronx in 40 minutes. My mother's side, all Yankees fans, so I was raised a Yankees fan, and I will always be a Yankees fan. So my favorite ballpark, my favorite stadium is Old Yankee Stadium. Don't get me wrong. I like the new one too, but Old Yankee Stadium just had a different feel to it. Okay. It was, the concourses were closed off. It wasn't the open air that you see nowadays where you walk in and you can, you know, you just kind of look down, you can see out over the field and some of the scoreboard and whatnot. Old Yankee Stadium was all closed off. So you walked in, you couldn't see anything. Now you'd find your section and you'd walk up what was kind of like a tunnel out to the stands, and the field would kind of just open up in front of you. And I swear, as a Yankees fan, you know, and that's the same ground where Babe Ruth played, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, you know, I mean, Don Mattingly, in my lifetime, Don Mattingly, Willie Randolph, Dave Winfield. When you would walk out there and all of a sudden the field would just open up out in front of you, it was absolutely amazing. And then the noise, the sheer sound inside that place, the place would hold the noise. So the stadium, if it got loud enough, you could literally feel it shake. And I've been there for a couple different occasions when that's happened. And that was that was unreal to experience. So Old Yankee Stadium, Maria, to answer your question, would be my favorite one. As far as like stadiums that I have been to, you know, traveling with the kids, I thought I had it written down somewhere, and I may not have kept it. So I'd have to go back to my list, but certainly PNC Park in Pittsburgh comes to mind. The K out in Kansas City. I absolutely love that place. Target Field is nice. I can tell you what's at the bottom of the list for the ones that I've seen so far is Tropicana Field down in Tampa. If this hurricane is going to do any good, maybe it can kind of force the Rays to actually get a decent stadium, because that place is not good. It's not a great stadium, that's for sure. But it's also a horrible location. It's not on the Tampa side. You have to drive over to St. Pete. And so, like, who the hell wants to deal with that shit? You want to go to a game, you want to have a couple of beers and whatnot. Now you got to drive back over these bridges and everything. Freaking cops sit right at the end of it waiting to bag people. I mean, just all the way around, the Trop is just not a pleasant experience. Tampa really needs a stadium. on the Tampa side, preferably in Ebor. And I wouldn't go bananas. You know, cap it at 35,000 seats with a bunch of luxury boxes and stuff. With how good that team has been. And make no mistake, the Tampa Bay Rays get more out of every penny that they spend than any team in any professional sport. You don't want to believe me? You go look it up. They don't spend a whole lot of money. And, man, they churn out. Yeah, they are tough year in and year out. Who else has joined the room here? Keenan. Yo, fuggers. I was checking on my friends in Florida. They're safe. Glad to hear that. We talked about that before, Keenan. We were kind of sending well wishes to, you know, everyone we may or, you know, friends with or family down there in Florida. Russ, hello, bitches. What's up, bud? How you doing? Lou Mancini, I was there in 02. First time I didn't see the World Trade Center towers. Yeah, man, that's tough. I took a bus trip to Yankee Stadium from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Booze cruise, basically, right? There was a whole mess of us on there drinking and whatnot. And it was September 10th, 2001. And it's against the Red Sox. We get there and it poured rain. And the game rained out. And so we got back on the bus and came home. And, you know, went out to the bars. And, you know, I mean, I was 22 years old. So you did your normal, bullshit, right? And, you know, the next morning, that was the phone call. So that was, that was tough. And it's tough on everybody, tough on the whole country. So, Russ, you know what Tampa has? Hooters and Twin Peaks. Green Legion really needs to push for a Twin Peaks in Philadelphia. Dude, we've got a Twin Peaks here in Westchester, Ohio. It's about 10 minutes away. That place is awesome. Yes, the scenery is fantastic. The way that the way they dress is awesome. But I'll be honest with you, food ain't bad, man. You know, you can go there and walk out of there and say, okay, you know, I can actually justify going here for the food, not just for the Hooters. Keenan, wheels up in 9 days, finally get to get Happy Gilmore's autograph. You would be my first, my friend. So I would be absolutely honored. But yeah, we talked about that before, man. We are pumped. Michelle and I are definitely pumped. The countdown is on for us. I'm leaving work next Thursday at 3 o'clock. Got to stop at an appointment real quick, and then it's home and gather up our shit. And I think I'm going to try to talk her into, you know, let's go stay at a hotel that night. Thursday night down near the airport because our flight is early. So, but we'll cross that bridge as we come to it. Desi, there she is. Once again, folks, Desi from the block, Desi from the Bronx, the owner of the greatest breakfast this side of the Mississippi River. And no, you can't have none. Before I get, boy, you guys really got me going tonight. Let's get back over to here. I want to just cover a couple of things on baseball real fast. We talked about Albert Pujols. Look, the rest of the races are, you know, pretty much falling into place. The Yankees clinched the division last night, first time since 2019. No, it doesn't sound like much to Phillies fans, but for Yankee fans, it's been a long couple of years, and we get mad about it. I know the Phils are, you know, finishing your season with 10 straight road games is tough, okay? But like we talked about on Baseball Brunch last week, you're not playing the stiffest competition on the road, okay? Cubs, I think the Nationals or the Diamondbacks or something, and then you're going to finish at Houston, but Houston's pretty much got the number one seed and everything locked up already. So my hope for you guys is that Houston, not so much lays down, but, you know, just kind of get you guys out there, have them throw a couple innings, and then come back on you know, pulling back out of there. Hopefully your Phils are playing the B squad. Hopefully by that point you don't need it. Because if it gets to those last three games, and Keenan, thank you for this right here. If it gets to those final three games, Keenan hit the nail on the head. Zach, we might all have to check in on Zach, okay? Like pretty frequently to make sure that he's not over there losing his mind. By the same token, once the Yankees do finally play a postseason series this year, please make sure you check up on old Unhappy Gilmore here because I tend to lose my mind. So The way that's going to work is the Yankees are going to play the winner of the 3-6 matchup, which at this point looks like Cleveland and Seattle. So, hey, look, anybody can win. But really, most of the eyes on baseball right now are on Aaron Judge and his quest to surpass Roger Maris as the American League home run champion. A lot of us feel that that's the true record because of the steroids with Bonds and McGuire and Sosa. That 61 is still the number. And here Aaron Judge sits at 60, and he's now gone 7 games without a home run. Not the first time this year he's gone 7 games without a home run. It's just, you know, the timing of it makes you feel like he's probably pressing a little bit, having a little bit of a hard time. I will tell you, the weekend series against Boston, it looked like he was pressing a bunch, but it didn't last long. It looked like he kind of came out of that and just started letting it come back to him. You know, over his last 7 games, I got to tell you, I'm pretty disappointed in the opposing pitching, in particular the Red Sox, because they were really playing for nothing, okay? You know, they're in dead last. We took care of them as far as their playoff hopes. But even that was just a mathematical thing. They were not going to make the playoffs. It just wasn't going to happen. And they're up there walking Judge. Come on, you Bush League chicken shit. Now we move on to Toronto, and at least Toronto's got something to play for. But my God, they walked him 4 times last night. Now, he worked a 3-2 count in every single at-bat, all 5 of them. First at-bat, he turned on one and hit a rocket, but right at third. And the other four plate appearances, he walked. It feels a little weak sauce. Lou, what do you got here? You an hour or two behind East Coast? No, I am still in East Coast time, which is funny because I am so far on the westernmost point of the East time zone that it is actually lighter for about 40 to 50 minutes longer here than it is for you guys, even though we're under the same time zone. So I enjoy that in the summer because it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock before it's really pitch black. But anyways, yeah, so Judge, let me throw you a couple of things. So we went over all of his gaudy stats on Baseball Brunch last week, here on the Unhappy Gilmore Show last couple of weeks. I'm not going to keep beating a dead horse with that. But over the last 7 games where he's not hit a home run, he's had 31 plate appearances. 12 of those have resulted in a walk. That's Bush, okay? That equates to 19 actual at-bats where he's got 5 hits and 5 runs scored. His on-base percentage over these 7 games is .548. So 55%. I mean, it's just like, dude, just somebody's going to have to go after him. And don't get me wrong, when he swings, he's squaring it up. He just happens to be finding some out. Even his outs have been loud. I think that's where most of the focus is on baseball right now. Actually, I know the Phillies are playing for a lot, but on top of the home runs, he's also on the verge of, he's trying to become the second player since 1967 to win the Triple Crown. And that's where you lead your league in batting average, home runs, and RBIs. He's got the home runs by a mile. The RBIs, he's got a fairly comfortable lead, although if Ramirez gets hot and they keep walking Judge, that could change. But really, to me, the only question is the batting average, right? Xander Bogaerts and Arias are right on top of them. They're batting .313 coming into play today with Judge at .314. So that's the area where it's tough. But you talk about only the second player since 1967 win the Triple Crown, if he is able to do so. So in 1967, it was Carl Yastrzemski. He batted .326 with 44 homers and 121 RBIs. In 2012, it was Miguel Cabrera. Batted .330 with 44 homers, 139 RBIs. So Judge isn't going to bat .330. He's not likely to bat .326. But he's got 60 home runs, and he's trying to, you know, surpass. He's obviously trying to hit more. He's got 128 RBIs right now, so that, I doubt he gets to 139 to match Miggy's total. But you're talking about an historic season, which is why I keep going back to Shohei Ohtani is not the American League MVP. Mind you, Aaron Judge is doing this on a first-place baseball team. All right, a team that is going to win 95 plus games. Shohei Ohtani, as great as he is, the Angels stink with or without him. So I took a picture, and just one more thing on Judge here. When you start talking MVP talk, right? Because it's not just the home runs and the triple crown. There's also people out there who believe that Shohei Ohtani should be the American League MVP. I think they're insane, and here's why. So since the All-Star break, and this was something that I saw this past weekend, we were playing the Red Sox. I believe it was the Saturday game. Since the All-Star break, Aaron Judge batting .368 with a .506 on base percentage, an .836 slugging percentage for an OPS of .1342. He'd also hit 27 home runs and had 58 RBIs in those 57 games since the All-Star break. The entire rest of the Yankees, batting average .219, on base percentage .288, slugging .352, OPS of .640. MVP, most valuable player. Without Aaron Judge, the Yankees are not winning the American League East, and they're flapping in the breeze somewhere trying to cling to a wild card spot. That's the truth of it. The Angels stink with or without Shohei. So if you like Shohei, and I don't have a problem with him, but he's not the MVP of 2022. He's probably the most talented baseball player playing right now, but that does not make you the MVP every year. It just doesn't. Much this year. Oh, and any Judge also leads in WAR, wins above replacement, which is the one all the analytic freaks like to cling to. I don't know if anybody has comments. Yep. Sorry, I missed Dave. I missed you there for a second. David Conant, I think Judge is pressing more. I think he's pressing more than you do. I think he wants it too bad, and rightfully so. Keep in mind, he's missed a few pitches that he should have crushed in a few of those at bats. Yeah, I agree. I do. But he's also taken the walks. And last night was a perfect example of how he is seeing the ball pretty well. You know, 5 plate appearances, 4 walks. All 5 plate appearances went 3-2 count. And the only one where he made an out, I mean, he hit an absolute bullet just right at third. You know, the couple of hits he has had during this stretch have been hit very hard. These aren't bloops. I agree with you. There's a couple of pitches kind of on the outer half where he likes to get those big long arms extended and drive it to right center field where he's just kind of under it. His timing's good. He's not squaring it up. So I think if he just stays, he probably is still pressing for it, but I think it's become less of an issue since probably that Friday night or Saturday game against Boston. I don't feel the Friday night or Saturday game where he was trying to pull the outside pitch in those games. And that's something that Judge just doesn't do. Okay. Not when he's going well, he doesn't do those things. So I agree with you. He was pressing there. He probably is still pressing some, but I don't think he's pressing as much. And I think last night's at bats show that. And I think, the homers are going to come. Dave, you had asked me how many I thought he was going to end up with, and I had said 65. That number might come down a little bit now, but we'll see. David Conant, he is, but he's working a lot of those walks. Not like he's walking on 4 pitches. Yeah, it's true. It's true, which also backs up my point that he's seeing the ball well. So, it's just a matter of time. He just needs to stay with what he's doing. I don't have any problem with his discipline at the plate right now. And since Friday night or Saturday against Boston. Ever since then, he's looked much more disciplined at the plate. And he's just, he's just been, under a couple of them. Yeah, he did hit the one rocket against Boston where, the thing 113 miles an hour off the bat went 404 feet and would have been out of 13 major league ballparks. Just happened to hit at the dead center at Yankee Stadium, which unfortunately is 408. But anyways, I kind of want to move off of baseball here. I like where the Yanks are at. We look better than we have over the last couple of months. So we'll see what happens. We're going to get either Cleveland or Seattle more than likely, and we'll see where that goes. Houston will be the number one in the American League, and they will draw the winner of Tampa-Toronto when those two get done beating the shit out of each other. National League, Phillies, guys, just keep your fingers crossed. And like I said, if you still don't have the spot locked up yet when it comes down to those last 3 games in Houston, please, everyone, make sure you're checking in on Chris Sack to make sure that, he hasn't, drank himself into whatever. but he is likely to lose his mind. I hope it doesn't come down to that for you guys. Anyways, I want to move on to football here now. Right? That's why we're all here, isn't it? I'm here for both, but on to football. Look, there is no way to cut it. The Philadelphia Eagles looked fantastic again. Okay? That's 2 weeks in a row where we have looked really, really strong. It begins and ends with Jalen Hurts and the defense too. And we'll get to the defense, but Jalen Hurts has been absolutely impressive. Okay. We had a lot of questions coming into the season. Can he take that next step? I felt like he could. It was just a matter of would he? And then from there, it was arm strength. Is the arm strength improved? Is the accuracy improved? You can get away with not having the strongest arm in the world. Jared Goff doesn't have a strong arm. Joe Burrow does not have a strong arm. Joe Montana did not have a strong arm. But Burrow and Montana, very, very accurate. Something Hurts has not been. However, just throw a couple of things out here. Third in the league in passing yards with 916. Four touchdown passes, just the one interception for a 106.5 passer rating. Jalen Hurts, y'all. He's averaging 305.3 yards per game. And here is my favorite number of the whole thing. We talked a minute ago about the accuracy. Okay. In 2020, his rookie year, when they, we all remember the Green Bay game, he comes in and relieves Carson Wentz, takes the job from there on out. Completion percentage, 52%. Not great. 2021. Now he's the starter. Wentz is gone. It's Jalen. It's Jalen's turn. Completion percentage improves to 61.3. Still about 4 points below the league average, but a 9-point improvement to where he was the year before. Now here we are out of the gates and granted, we're only three games in. But his completion percentage right now, y'all, is 67.3%. That is amazing improvement. Some of it's brought, look, adding AJ Brown isn't going to hurt. Okay. But he's got to do it. Okay. We've also seen him week one. I got concerned that it was going to be kind of the same old Jalen scrambles out of the pocket, not looking downfield. Okay. When the quarterback rolls out of the pocket and the receivers see it, what's the reaction? Take off, right? Fire drill. Even in the week one against Detroit, I just felt like Jalen was only looking at, let me elude this defender so that I can run for the first down, not concerned with what was going on downfield. Week two, I think we saw improvement there. Week three, obvious, he had another big game. So I think his field vision is also getting better. And I believe that's also what's leading to a lot of the more completions, better completion percentage, more yards. He just looks better. He looks more confident in the pocket. And, of course, he looks confident running, too. He's an incredible athlete. Big, strong kid. So the running, right? The rushing yards. He's 37 carries so far this year, 167 yards. He's gotten in the end zone three times. So this kid has accounted for, what does that come down to? 1,083 yards, 7 touchdowns, 1 pick. With a 106.5 passer rating. Pretty damn good, right? Hurts so good. Russ. Where does one get one of those snazzy sweatshirts? I ordered it off the Green Legion website, but it was a couple of years ago now. I don't know if it's still there. I've not checked the gear shop in a while. Keenan, let's talk about the NFC. We'll get to defense in a minute. It's coming up here in just a second. Russ Taylor. Way too early. Imagine if the Eagles and Dolphins go full on Ace Ventura. You have Jim Carrey do the coin flip. Winner of the game has to make a donation to the animal program of the winner. Very creative, Russ. Very creative. I love it. Lou Mancini, yards per attempt for Jalen. I didn't look that one up, but you've got down here. You're also saying 13.7. Yeah, I mean, look, he's been pushing the ball downfield. Okay. That's something we haven't really seen him do. Or do really with any consistency or success over the first 2 years. It's a totally, totally different look. Now, Let's move on to the defense before we get to a slight concern. A couple of slight concerns, nothing major. I don't want anybody thinking that I'm closing the show with a complaint, but we are going to get to something, a couple of things I am slightly concerned about. Keenan, who was that NFC Defensive Player of the Week? Does anybody know? That's right, Maria. Nail on the head. It's BG, Brandon Graham. And what a game he had. Thank you, Maria. Finishes the game with 2.5 sacks and a forced fumble. I mean, how great was that to see? Mind you, he did that only playing 35% of the defensive snaps. Instant impact with BG. And something, when he's going right, it's something we've come to expect. Something that this team lacked very much so last season. When he went down, it was very obvious that that defensive front looked entirely different. You know, be it from his talent standpoint, but I think also his leadership, his character, what he brings to the table all around. It's just not there. It was lacking badly. But the rest of the defense, 9 sacks of our favorite ginger aff, that Ronald McDonald punk down there in Washington. Last week, if for any of you that listened to Baseball Brunch, Chris had said he just wanted to get out of there with a win. I agree the win's the most important, but I wanted the head of Carson Wentz too, and that defense delivered. 2.5 sacks for Brandon Graham, 2.5 sacks and a forced fumble for NFC Defensive Player of the Week, Brandon Graham. But he wasn't alone. Reddick, 1.5 sacks and a forced fumble. Fletch, 1.5 sacks. Sweat, 1.5 sacks. TJ with a sack and Hargrave with a sack and a fumble recovery. Held Washington to 240 total yards. And most of that felt like it was in garbage time. Okay. They only had 153 net passing yards, 87 rushing. And just the one touchdown 2 weeks in a row now. So the week before, we did that fantastic job against the Vikings pass offense, particularly Justin Jefferson, where big play Slay just wasn't having it. But it wasn't just Slay. You know, we pretty much handled that vaunted passing attack at will and only gave up the one touchdown. And again, here we go again this week. And Wentz, you know, to his credit, you know, he hadn't looked awful the first 2 weeks. And so to go down there and kick that ass was nice to see. What do you got over here? There we go. Dave Debbie Downer over here. You do know they played Washington, right? Yeah, well, you can only play who's on your schedule, bub. And we kicked their ass. So good teams kick the ass of bad teams. That's what happens. Had that been a tight game, like a 24-21, I'd be less impressed. But when you go down there into their house, it's a division rival against the guy that used to be your signal caller in your locker room, and you hand him his ass in a paper bag, sack him 9 times, force him to fumble twice, recovering one of them, and hold his offense to 240 total yards and only one touchdown? Yeah. I don't care who you're playing. That's a beatdown. I mean, a lot to be excited about there with the Eagles. You know, this coming week, Dougie and the Jags come to town. This is going to be a different type of test. Okay. Sunshine comes in with a 69.4 completion percentage, 772 yards, 6 touchdowns, just the 1 pick, 103 passer rating. He is definitely going to be the most athletic quarterback we will have faced to this point, all right? You know, everybody knows Jared Goff ain't running sprints. Kirk Cousins certainly isn't going anywhere, and Carson Wentz used to be a little bit more mobile, but, you know, when you're constantly flat on your back or flat on your face, you're really not running anywhere. So, you know, Lawrence isn't – it's not like he's lightning quick, but he's definitely more athletic. So we're going to – that's something to contend with. And Dougie's got that team playing good ball. You know, he's brought, I think, a very calming influence to a Jacksonville team that desperately needed it after last year's mess with Herb the Perv Meyer. You know, I don't expect this to be a pushover in any way, shape, or form. Maria, I predict double-digit sacks for Graham this year. I hope you're right. We all love BG, especially, you know, the most famous sack probably in Eagles history, right? The ball's out. The ball's out. David Conner, I mean, my QB doesn't know where the back of the end zone is. Shit. Sorry, dude, I'm sorry. Yeah, hey, look, it could be Trey Lance. I guess it could be worse, right? But anyways, so Dougie and the Jags coming to Philly this week. I do not expect that to be a pushover. I do expect to win the game again because I believe the Birds are more talented. But I don't expect this to be a pushover, you know, romp like we've had pretty much the last 2 weeks. Well, let me jump back over here for a minute. Keenan and Dougie P is going to try to show off, try to show Jeff and Howie they made a mistake. Yeah, I get it. But, like, you know, at the time when Doug got let go, it really wasn't a mistake. They needed to clean house. Okay, Wentz had to go. Doug had to go. There was too much shit going on there. And it was just time. You know, they needed to kind of wipe the slate clean and get some calmness and settle. Kind of like what Doug is doing down in Jacksonville. I mean, they were talking about turmoil last year. My God, you know, Meyer's out, you know, having girls grinding on him at clubs where he's not supposed to be, kicking his kicker. I mean, the guy's a knucklehead. So not that I was surprised. I never thought the Urban Meyer thing was going to work out. Had I had my show at the time, I would have been screaming about that just as much as you guys had to deal with me talking about Deshaun Watson earlier during the summer. So I think Dougie's done a really good job down there. I think he'll continue to do a good job down there. I do expect to win this game. I do not expect to lose at home to Jacksonville. But I also don't expect it to just be I don't expect a boat race. I don't expect it to be a smashing. To go along with that, I have a feeling we're going to need to see four quarters from this football team, okay? And we're going to close the show with a couple of things to maybe be concerned about. I'll try to find some silver lining in there to actually close the show. And you know, I like to be close on a positive. But we are going to talk right now a couple of things that I think should be a little, you know, at least on your radar. I'm not telling anyone to be overly concerned. But I do think we're going to need four quarters of football out of this team this weekend in order to beat Jacksonville. And that's not been the MO for the first 3 weeks. Now, last night, you know, if you listen to the players show, of course you couldn't watch because of their location now, but if you listen to the players show every Tuesday night, Green Legion Radio, please make sure you tune into that. That's a really fun show. So a former or current, you know, try to get a current player on and interview him for the first hour. And the guys and girls there, and by girls, I'm obviously talking about Sam, you know, Chris, Sam, Quimby, Diaz, Irv when he's there, Spadaro, and then whatever player comes on. It's really a fun show. So you definitely want to check that out. But Quimby talked a little bit about this last night. Keenan, was it you that asked the question, should we be concerned about the second half offense? I am on your side, and I told you to bring that energy tonight too because I do have a couple. Actually, I was taking notes on it when you asked that question last night, which that's why I immediately was like, ooh, bring that tomorrow night too because I definitely want to discuss it. Quimby thinks it's got a lot to do with the fact that we didn't have a real intense training camp. Obviously, they, you know, the guys didn't play in the preseason a bunch, at least the starters anyways, thinking that's kind of a carryover into the regular season and that this is really kind of this past week was kind of the end of what would have been your normal preseason. And I think that's kind of fair. I think you can make that point. That's why I'm not suggesting anyone to be kicked up into a fuss over any of this. But I do think it's an area to look at. Now, if it corrects itself, who gives a shit? If that corrects itself, we're really going to be smashing everybody. But some things to call out. Your second half possession. The third quarter against Detroit, we scored two touchdowns. So we're going to throw that one out because there was no problem there. From the fourth quarter against Detroit through the Washington game, and we're talking strictly second half, there have been 11 possessions, right? Fourth quarter against Detroit, third and fourth against Minnesota, third and fourth against Washington. There's been 11 possessions. They have resulted in 8 punts, a blocked field goal, an interception, and a safety. There were 13 possessions. So the other two would be your victory formation, right? So, you know, you're just kind of kneeling on it to finish out the game. So 11 possessions, not victory formation. 8 punts, a blocked field goal, a pick, and a safety. That's not awesome. Okay, with Detroit, it was punt victory formation. Against the Vikings, okay, that was Detroit fourth quarter. Against the Vikings the entire second half, blocked field goal, punt, pick, punt. And against the Commodes, second half, punt, 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 safety, punt, and then victory formation. Look, it's nice to have the victory formation. Don't get me wrong. I'm certainly not complaining about it. But I would like to see some more offense in the second half. Okay, the defense has played strong, so it's not been a problem. But we're not going to be playing Wentz and the Commodes every week. This Jacksonville team is more talented than Washington. We did a very good job against the Vikings offense that can score. You can put up points and buckets. Nothing to complain about there. But the offense itself, Keenan, I thought you were right to bring it up and ask the question because it is a little alarming. Okay. Again, outside of victory formation possessions, 8 punts, a blocked field goal, a pick, and a safety. This is no good. So I think that's going to have to improve going forward. You got to step on their throat. At some point, you got to go out and just step on their throat. And I don't care if a few weeks ago on Right on Cue, Quimby played that clip from Remember the Titans, right? Run it up, Herman. Leave no doubt. I want to see it. I want to see it. Now, if you want to take your foot off the gas in the fourth quarter, if you're up 42-7, I got it. I'm with you. But until that point, I want to see foot on the gas pedal. Nobody's saying you got to go for it on 4th and 10 or some video game shit. But let's stay aggressive, guys. And I feel like that's not happening. Oh, Lewis. Lewis Dominguez. There he is. Can't take the foot off the gas pedal in the NFL. Bingo. Nail on the head. The other thing I wanted to bring up, we're not seeing a whole lot out of Jordan Davis. Okay? He played 24 snaps against the Commodes. That's only 31% of the defensive snaps. Brandon Graham played 35%. And look what he did. Now I'm not suggesting that Jordan Davis would be able to put up that same type of stat line, but only 31%. This is a young man. He's our number one pick. It was a huge splash to trade up and go and get him. At some point, it can't all be about the lack of training camp and stuff like that. At some point, these guys have got it on the field. And I'll tell you another one. There were 0 defensive snaps for N'Kobe Dean, yet he was in there on 77% of the special teams plays. The frick is wrong there? I thought we were getting first-round talent in the third round. Now, look, I know we're very talented on the defense as overall, right? And I'm certainly not suggesting that either of these young men should take away someone else's job right now. At the same time, I would like to see them more, right? Can we work them in a little bit more? That's all I'm asking for. So that was really it, guys. I don't want to end the show on a Debbie Downer here. But there's some call-outs there. I think some things for all of us to be, aware of and be watching for as the season progresses. Again, I expect to beat the Jags this weekend. Dallas is going to be home versus the Commodes. The Giants are at the Bears. If you want to keep a lead in this division, you're probably going to have to beat the Jags because otherwise you're going to end up in a three-way heat with, look, the Giants are bad. I get it. But the Bears might be the worst team in football. And I know Dallas is nothing to write home about, but look what we just did to Washington. So, if I had any confidence in one or the other, I would think probably maybe the Bears at home. But, good God, that's some brutal football, by the way, that I don't really intend to watch much of. I try to look for more fun matchups, which, by the way, Unhappy Gilmore told you about that Miami-Buffalo game. Lewis, if you're still listening, I warned you guys. Everybody was up, oh, my God, 2 through 6 touchdowns and Josh Allen. And holy shit, this game's going to be a shootout. And I warned you, watch it be 20-17. And what the hell was the final, 21-19? That game had letdown written all over it. All over it. If I was still a gambling man, I would have easily taken the under on that. No doubt about it. But be that as it may, that was all I had for the week. I'm surprised I made it through an hour, given how tired I am. As usual, you guys here in the room, you're the best. We really do. I've watched other podcasts and other some that are somewhat similar to this setup. And I don't think there is a chat room anywhere else that compares to the folks that we have on all of the Green Legion Radio family shows. You all are absolutely the best. Hop over here one more time. Desi chiming in again. Yes, Giants offense sucked Monday night. However, that pass interference call against Trayvon Diggs in second quarter was BS. Oh, look, Dallas can't get penalized enough, Desi, okay? Yes, you're a Giants fan. We're not going to hold that against you because that means you also hate Dallas. So until we're playing each other, you get a pass. David Connett, should have been 21-17 if the punter doesn't hit his own teammate in the butt with a punt. I know, it was an awful game. Awful game. And I wasn't shocked. Now, the butt punt was a little surprising, of course, but the score was not. That didn't shock me. Lou, yep, you called it. So happy we pulled it out. Yeah, I think it makes that division a little more interesting now, right? I think if Buffalo had beaten Miami, I think, you know, Lou, I think, before baseball brunch last week, you and Ashley had asked that question. Like, what did we think if Miami wins the game, does that give them the division? And most of us said no, but I think you brought up the point where if Buffalo were to win that game, doesn't give them the division, but it makes it a lot tougher for you guys, right? Because your next game against Buffalo is going to be up there later in the year. And like we all said that night, good Lord, nobody wants to go to Buffalo. For David Connett, Desi from the Bronx with the best breakfast this side of the Mississippi, Lou Dominguez, Keenan, Deanna, Keenan, Dave, John Brady, need two tickets to Sunday's game, anyone? Lou Mancini, Maria, Russ Taylor, Missy Chad. Missy driving all the way out to Indy in November from Philly. That's a long trip. But, guys and girls, thank you very much. This has been the Unhappy Gilmore Show, powered by Green Legion Radio, part of the Green Legion Radio family. I thank you all for being here, and I hope you will tune in next week when we are hopefully talking about another Birds victory. And of course, next Wednesday night, we will definitely be pumped up for that trip to Arizona. Guys, girls, everybody, I thank you. Have a great night.